Hi, Monk podcast listeners. The following is a sample of the Monk members only podcast. To access the full length edition of this episode and all of our regular Monk members only podcasts, go to our website, www.monkdebates.com, and register for membership. Membership is free, and it's available for you right now at www.monkdebates.com. Hope you enjoy the program. Hello, Monk members. Rudyard Griffiths here, your chair and moderator. Welcome to this, our latest Monk Members Only podcast. This is our regular program where we delve into the big issues and ideas in the news shaping our world. We do this with Janice Gross Stein. She's the founding director of the Monk School of Global Affairs, internationally best-selling author and acclaimed scholar of international relations. Janice, great to be talking with you today.
Good morning, Rudyard, and so much to talk about.
Yeah, we've got three issues on deck. Each program, our pledge to our listeners is to take you through what we think are the top three kind of stories that deserve all of our attention this last week to 10 days, and do that for you in 30 minutes or less. So Janice, to kick off this week, I think we have an opportunity here to have a discussion about sanctions, and do they really matter anymore? What is the purpose of sanctions? In the last week, we've seen the United States go forward with two sanction acts, one against Saudi Arabia and the other against Russia. You know, these are important statements by the U.S. government, not just the content of them and the intent, but in effect, these are some of the very first big international moves or steps by the Biden administration to express its foreign policy. What do you take away of these two cases, Saudi Arabia and Russia, and the sanctions that the United States has imposed?
This is a really interesting story, Rudyard, because it does give us an early signal from the Biden administration. You're right. And that signal is human rights matter. And in that sense, the Biden administration is drawing a bright line between itself and its predecessor, the Trump administration, that was clearly transactional with both those governments. So this is, we are different. And it's not good enough for us to say we're different. We have to do something to show that we're different. So here's what the Biden administration did. It sanctioned the people around Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, who was responsible, as their intelligence estimate says, for the murder of Khashoggi. So who were the operatives? Let's find those and sanction those and get as close to the crown prince as possible. But, oh, wait a minute, let's not touch the crown prince. Oh, we're not doing that one. In Russia, a very similar story. Really brutal treatment of Navalny, you know, poisoned allegedly by the Russian government in hospital in Germany to recover. In a very courageous act, goes back to Russia knowing that he would be arrested. And he was, literally. His plane was diverted and he was arrested. Tried and then sentenced to one of the toughest penal colonies in Russia, where it was famous for abuse. Okay, let's sanction the people that we can identify who were involved in the poisoning. We're going to freeze their assets and make it very, very difficult for them to travel outside Russia without fear of arrest. But hey, wait a minute. Don't go anywhere near Vladimir Putin. You can probably tell from my voice what I'm saying.
Yeah, it seems that there, in a sense, is a contradiction here of intent and action, or a tension between intent and action. I mean, as you say, the Biden administration speaking up also in China around human rights. But does that matter in the end if you're not willing to follow through with actions that are, you know, that create pressure, that make those regimes feel as if they have something to lose, that their behavior is eliciting consequences. And I guess what surprises me the most, you're an expert on the Middle East, it surprises me consistently why the United States kowtows to Saudi Arabia. I can understand being sensitive around the Russians. I mean, they have 3,000 thermonuclear weapons. I'd be careful around Putin too. But MBS, I mean, come on. I mean, this is a regime that has, I think, ensnared the United States into an alliance with the Gulf states that's often been against probably its interests in the Middle East in terms of creating stability in a region that's vital to U.S. shipping, energy, oil, commerce. And more importantly, MBS is just a lousy actor, Janice. I mean, this is a bad guy that deserves, in my view, not just a slap on the wrist of people around him, but real punishment, not just for the killing of Khashoggi, but to somehow constrain his seeming belief in his ability to act unilaterally. Often with very negative consequences for his own country, not unimportant, but for the rest of us too.
You know, as I listened to the argument that you were just making, Rudyard, every time you said MBS, I could have put Putin in there. I talked about a very similar political dilemma for the United States, for Canada too, really. Putin has clearly been a destabilizer in his own neighborhood in the last.
But Janice, isn't Putin just an order of magnitude different? I mean, Russia is not Saudi Arabia. I mean, Russia is a geopolitical player in a way with capabilities and geography and a whole bunch of other things that makes it, I believe, something you got to handle carefully. Saudi Arabia, though, I mean, this is a sclerotic monarchy that used to have a stranglehold on global energy supply, but the United States is now producing 10 million barrels of oil on its own on a daily basis. So it's not as if there's the same energy independence that in administrations in the past required this obsequious attitude towards the House of Saud.
So your argument really is, Rudyard, let's sanction those who don't matter to us at all, but let's not sanction those who can inflict damage on us in return. So, you know, the House of Commons in Canada just passed a motion calling China's actions against the Uyghur community, and there was lots of evidence to support this, genocidal, but then stopped. So this is rhetorical action, not backed up by any sanctions, Magnitsky-like or other, against the Chinese government. And there's a compelling argument. China can inflict an enormous amount of damage on Canada, so we're not going to do anything beyond saying this is genocide. So let's take China off the table. Let's take Putin off the table. Yeah. So let's only sanction bad actors who do not have the capacity to reach out and retaliate in any way. Now, that's not a great message if you're outside the big power world, where you see countries in the Middle East, in Africa, in South America, who are all potential targets of this kind of action. And there's one system for the powerful, there's quite another system for those not powerful.
When has it ever not been that way? Isn't it better to put the likes of Saudi Arabia on warning, make them stand on their tippy toes, than giving them a pass on the basis that we need to create parity with regards to how we respond to smaller powers like Saudi Arabia versus China and Russia? Saudi Arabia really has, if you look at Canada, I mean, we sell some armored vehicles to them, I think somewhat shamefully. We could walk away from the Saudis tomorrow. There's no reason that we need any kind of diplomatic or other trade relationship with that regime that is brutally suppressing women, that's torturing dissidents, that's beheading people, Janice. I mean, we have to act on our values somewhere. So if we can act on our values by picking on the people we can actually pick on, I'm all in favor of that.
Okay, so we have a double standard of those we pick on. And by the way, that is precisely what has made, for example, the International Criminal Court such an object of controversy is really tried cases in Africa. We've had 20 years of an International Criminal Court that functionally, even though we've had judges and a prosecutor from Africa, consistently gone after African governments and ignored everybody else in the world. You actually discredit institutions and the values behind them when you consistently do this, Roger. Now let's come to MBS for one last minute. He is aggressive, ruthless, comes out of a culture, as you just described, where you behead political prisoners, you flog them. I mean, this is something that is frankly anathema to most of the democracies in the world. But there is another side to him, which doesn't get talked about enough. He is actually pushing for change. He doesn't tolerate criticism, and he shuts down literally, physically, anybody who does. But at the same time, this is the guy who made it legal for women to drive. This is the guy who is making it possible to take on the absolutely oppressive guardianship system in Saudi Arabia that has, you know, prevented women from doing anything without the consent of their male guardian. This is the guy who is trying to move Saudi Arabia off its terminal dependence on oil and build an alternative economy. So how you described him is absolutely accurate, Rudyard, but it's not the whole story about him. And so that's where it's difficult.
I don't know, Janice. I mean, we're short on time for this segment. I don't know if it's difficult. I don't know if you do deals with people that are chopping up journalists with bone saws. I think there are certain normative horizons that we need to embrace and act on.
Well, you know, this is we're going to confront this kind of dilemma with many, many countries that we deal with. How do you add up the costs and the benefits? And more generically, and this is going to be the big one for the next 10 years, Roger, how do you actually encourage the change you want? Because what I described was some important changes toward better rights for women in Saudi Arabia. And you can't just sneeze at that one. How do you encourage that while making clear that chopping up a journalist and murdering him inside an embassy is not okay? Well, you sanction the people who did it. And that's why sanctions are so attractive, because it's better than doing nothing, but it stops short of doing something really meaningful.
You've been listening to a sample of the Monk Members Only podcast. To access the rest of the episode, consider becoming a member. Membership is free and available at www.monkdebates.com. Once you've joined as a member, go to your membership profile to access the rest of this episode and all of our Monk Members podcasts. Thanks for listening.